Here's some sounds of blessedness that we need to recognize and be thankful for in this congregation. That's the cry of babies, and that is a blessed thing. I have known some elderly folks that are became very upset because of the cry of babies. They are angry against the future if that takes place. They're angry against the future. Then the other sound of blessing are young voices singing praises unto God. We have both of those taking place here. And that's a wonderful thing. Reason. I've asked the question by what I've written on the board, what is in reason? And it appears as though our world is getting further and further away from reason. The federal government has deemed it necessary not to use the term woman or pregnant woman, but rather birthing person. Accusations are being made of cruelty because there have been some people that have climbed the border walls and have fallen and died. And in both instances, reason is not in either one of those. The birthing person is exactly the woman that was made by God. And she has that ability. And she is what embodies the woman. And we need to recognize that. And those that fall from the border wall fall because they're breaking the law. And they shouldn't be climbing in the first place. And our world chooses to ignore reason in connection with that. I want to look at what is in reason this evening with you for just a short while. First of all, turn over to Isaiah, the first chapter, verses 18 and 19. Isaiah 1, verses 18 and 19. And God says this. We're going to read verse 18 first, and then we'll look at verse 19 in just a moment. Verse 18, "Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be like crimson, they shall be as wool." This is not a call that is being made by God to come and let's discuss this situation together. Let us come to an agreement. But it is rather a call to reason by God. As a matter of fact, that word reason in the Hebrew means to correct or to be convinced. God was calling them, therefore, to repent. And we understand that from the context as we look to verse 19. "If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land." This reason is again not a negotiable, debatable situation that God is calling for at this time, but it is a call to that repentance, that reason that is truly from God and is rendered in us where we act reasonable by the obedience that we have through God's Word. And that's in reason. But I want to break this down a little bit further. When we look at the word reason because of what is contained within reason, we see that the Son is contained in reason. And I'm talking about Christ Jesus. He is in reason. When we look at Acts the 4th chapter and verse 12, Peter makes the statement there that there is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. And that is reasonable and that is right. He is the example that has been given for us to show how we conduct ourselves when we look in 1 Peter 1 and verse 21, "Who through Him are believers in God that raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory so that your faith and hope might be in God." And that is reason in the Son, our faith and hope being in Christ Jesus. And the reason being, He was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin, showing forth that example of life, Hebrews 4 and verse 15. The example in attitude, when He is shown the coin, when He was asked in Matthew the 22nd chapter, "Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar?" And Matthew 22 and verse 21, Jesus said, "Whose inscription or superscription is on the coin?" And they said, "Caesar." "Then render to Caesar what is Caesar's, but render God what is God's." And the example in death. Matthew the 26th chapter and verse 39, when He was in the garden and He prayed. And He said, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from Me, but not My will, but Thine be done." And He did that three times. As we look to Romans the 12th chapter, verses 1 and 2, where Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove or show forth what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. In reason is the Son. Absolute true reason and truth and understanding. He is in reason, and that is the reason that there is reason, because the Son is in reason. But not only that, we also see that because of Him, we can be near Him. N-E-A-R. We can be near the Son. There are those, of course, that are looking for some sort of outward manifestation in order to be near Christ Jesus. But whenever we look and understand what the Scriptures say, we understand it is through the Word that we can be near Jesus. In Acts 17, chapter and verse 27, when Paul was at Athens, and he was speaking to those that were idolaters, he let them know that unlike the idol gods in which there was no contact, in which there was, by their thoughts of appeasing the God, that good things would take place, or rather, bad things wouldn't happen, Paul says to them, if haply you feel after this one true God, though He is not far from any of us. And the reason being is that mankind is made in the image of God. And His will for us is nigh, it is near. When we look in Romans 10 chapter and verse 8, the word is near thee in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith. We understand that we don't have to search far. It's right here for us. It is given to us to be part of what we need to do and understand to do in order to be near Christ Jesus. And we can be near to God by fleeing Satan and being humble. When we look in James the 4th chapter, verses 7 through 10, be subject therefore unto God, but resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hearts, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he shall exalt you. Being near to the Lord means a giving up of self and the putting on of him. Where we give up the world and the sin that is in the world, and we look and follow after what God's Word says in order to be obedient reason in our lives. And it is shown by that obedience. We also see in reason that there is just one way. O-N-E. There is one way. There are those, of course, of the religious world that tells us Jesus is the best way to heaven. That's not correct. Jesus is the only way to heaven. And that Jesus is happy with whatever we decide to do as far as our worship and belief is concerned. That is not true either. When we go over to Ephesians the 4th chapter, beginning in verse 4. Paul says there, there is one Spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in all. When we look at that passage of Scripture, it's overlooked by the religious world, and sometimes it's being overlooked by brethren today. And when we look back at the instruction that congregations receive and the instruction that individuals receive, we see really that oneness throughout. There's one Spirit that is working through the Word of God in which there is one hope of your calling. You're not saved in any way that you choose, but rather how God chooses, and that through obedience to the Word. There is one Lord. Not the man that followed Christ Jesus. We don't give allegiance to any of the apostles. They were not authority. They were authorized in their work. Christ Jesus is the authority. There is one faith. Not many different faiths. There's not Christendom, as many maintain today, that any religion taught where there is the triune God in belief, well, then that is Christendom. No, there is the one Lord. And the one faith, of course, the one teaching, the one system of faith that comes to us through God's Word. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. And it's not by different modes. And it's not for any different purposes other than remission of sins in obedience to the gospel call. And that there is one God. And to Him, allegiance must be given. one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in all. When he is recognized by people, they can then have that oneness with him. But we also see, when we look at reason, that sometimes when reason is not used, there's something that is the result. And the result of that is A-R-S-O-N. And that spells arson. In other words, a setting forth of fire. And think about that from what James says when we look over in James, the 3rd chapter, verses 5 and 6. James says this, "So the tongue also is a little member and boasts great things. Behold, how much wood is kindled by how small a fire. And the tongue is a fire, the world of iniquity among our members in is the tongue, which defiles the whole body and sets on fire the wheel of nature and is set on fire by hell." We understand that when we speak without the true reason that comes from God, we are setting forth a fire. We are making arson against those that would hear the truth. We are burning down the things that are established by God, in a sense. And that is taking place in today's world, and especially among churches of Christ. There are those that are setting forth a fire because they're not going back to God's will, but rather they are listening to the desires and wants of people rather than that desire that comes forth from God. You see, we are to use our tongues, but not to make arson, but to glorify God. And as a matter of fact, when we look in Matthew, the 5th chapter and verse 9, Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the peacemakers that do not cause the controversies, but rather teach God's word." We also see that as we look at this word reason, that sometimes all it takes is just one addition, one small addition to reason for it to become something other than what is called forth by God. And that one addition creates treason. And wherever treason is made, then the accusation is not against man, and it's not against the preacher, it's not against the elders, it's not against the members, but rather it's against God. And there are those who try to follow the Son by their own reason, and ultimately it is treason against God. Hosea, the 6th chapter, verses 4 through 7, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." When we look in Isaiah, the 5th chapter, verses beginning in verse 20, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, put light for darkness and darkness for light, put sweet bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." And what that is man's desire and will that add just one thing, and that causes treason. And when we look in Jeremiah 4 and verse 22, "For my people are foolish, they know me not, they are stupid children. They have no understanding. They are wise in doing evil, but how to do good, they know not." And that is the reason, because they have committed treason against the God of heaven. How shameful that is. When we look at what is in reason, I'm sure we could probably pick out some more here from that particular word. But as I've always said, sometimes I preach 51 minutes, sometimes 15. And that's about where we are, because that's about all I have to say. Jack, you can get on to me for a little sermonette this afternoon. But that's all I wanted to say. Let's make sure that each of us follow reason in living for God. As a matter of fact, we can't live for God. We can't live for our Savior unless there is reason in our life. And let's make sure that it is the reason that comes forth from God's word and not our own desires. If you are not a child of God, use reason. Think about that. Use reason this very afternoon. How is it that the God of heaven, giving his only begotten Son without charge and out of love, has called you and you continue to deny coming to him? How can you continue to deny the gospel call, which offers you that which man cannot provide, and that is an eternal life? "Oh, but I have not sinned," someone says. There's nothing wrong with me. If you understand what I'm talking about this afternoon and you're not a child of God, you're in sin because you're refusing the Lord. As a matter of fact, right now you're living in treason. And then those of us that are Christians, are we living by reason before God? Or have we determined, I'm going to get by on the least possible thing that I can do, and that will surely get me to heaven? Rather than having the attitude, what is there more that I can do, Lord? Help me to serve you greater. What is it that we live by in our life? Do we live by reason? Do we live by treason? If there are those that we can help in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.